Item 460, accept street tree inventory report.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm really happy to introduce this item. And it's a spectacular collaboration between the Portland Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry Division and volunteers all over the city. Portland Parks and Recreation's Urban Forestry Department has completed one of the largest inventory of street trees, city trees, in the United States to guide management of Portland's urban forest. Street trees are a crucial public asset that provide health and economic benefits to our community. And today we'll hear about the inventory findings from the Urban Forestry staff and the Urban Forestry Commission's Policy Committee. So I'm delighted to introduce Jen Cairo, the City Forester.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. Good morning, Mayor and morning. Commissioners. For the record, I'm Jen Cairo, City Forester and Manager of Urban Forestry, which is a division of Parks and Recreation. And with me today for this presentation are Angie DeSalvo, Urban Forestry Outreach and Science Supervisor and founder and manager of the Volunteer Street Tree Inventory. Also, there aren't enough chairs, but Mark Bello is somewhere here. He is the chair of the Urban Forestry Commission and also served on the Title 11 Implementation Oversight Advisory Committee. Jim Labby will be presenting. He is a 2016 recipient of the Bill Nadeau Community Trees Award. He's also been on the Title 11 Implementation Advisory Oversight Committee and is currently working with the Policy Committee of the Urban Forestry Commission. And lastly, Dr. Vivek Chandas, director of the Sustaining Urban Places Research Lab at Portland State University, and also a member of the Urban Forestry Commission. Our presentation today has two parts. Angie and I will fill you in on the street tree inventory and put it within a context, especially for Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Udaly, before whom we have not spoken before. And the second part will be our commission partners speaking to the future of street trees in the city. Please ask any questions whenever you will. Urban Forestry's mission statement is to preserve and ensure the urban forest and the services it provides for current and future generations of Portland residents. Our work includes the physical full life cycle tree work of tree planting, young and mature tree care, tree removal when necessary, and then planting again in various ways. We also respond to tree hazards and emergencies in city rights of way and city properties 24/7 in all weather. We monitor and assess the forest and forest services, develop and implement tree policies and programs, such as the city's Urban Forest Management Plan. We implement city tree regulations through outreach, permitting, and enforcement, and we also foster local community tree knowledge and stewardship. Finally, we work with residents and partners collaboratively to support Portland's trees, including the Urban Forestry Commission, which is 11 residents who volunteer their time and energy to support and advise decision makers on all things trees in the city. Next. In arboriculture, we have a saying, trees are the answer. And for many things important to everyone, not just urban foresters, that statement is absolutely true. Research has repeatedly shown that trees are needed in cities for many reasons, and I'm going to just focus on two right now for the sake of time. The first of those is that they improve public health in important ways, including providing cleaner air, taking up carbon dioxide and particulates from the air, and off-gassing essential oxygen. They reduce levels of heat-related illness and human mortality from heat. They increase babies' birth weights and reduce the amount of time people spend recovering from illness in hospitals or being out of work. The second service of trees that's essential in cities that I'll stress today is that they are a key climate resilience tool for urban areas. They reduce summer heat in homes and in streets, and the loss of trees correlates closely with higher temperatures in summer and urban heat island effect. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration promotes urban forests as green infrastructure to fight the effects of climate change. Chicago speaks of, quote, fortifying the urban forest as a strategy to counter climate change. And of course, trees play a prominent role in Portland's own climate action plan. I want to note that these issues often disproportionately affect people of color, the less affluent, and underserved communities in cities, including Portland. These residents increasingly need these and other tree services. Our urban forest is essential infrastructure no less important than the streets, power lines, water pipes, sewer systems, bridges, and the like. Or another way to look at it is, what would Portland be without its trees? So Angie will now speak to one component of the city's urban forest, street trees.
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Angie DeSalvo. I'm with Urban Forestry, and I'm so pleased to be here today to bring you the results from our street tree inventory completed last year. Just to clarify, today I'm talking about trees in the public right-of-way. Our urban forest has many components, our private trees, our park trees, but here we're talking about right-of-way trees, those trees that line our streets, the first to greet you when you walk out your home. They buffer our transportation corridors, and they're also the primary way that our residents in the city interact with nature. And we went about inventorying these trees with a large group of volunteers, and I want to first emphasize that the maintenance of these trees is done by the adjacent property owner, so keep that in mind as we go forward with this. In Portland, we have a long history of urban forest management, and our very first inventory was conducted in 1938 by the Works Progress Administration, and then again in 1976 by the Parks Department, and most recently, we completed our largest effort to date last year, and the city has grown quite a bit since those first two inventories. And we need reliable data about what's happening with our street trees so that we can adequately manage and maintain that very important resource. And so this data is driving our management. Now, I mentioned that street trees are maintained by the adjacent property owner. So in Portland, of course, we have to involve our residents in collecting this data. So we could have gone out and just collected the information, but instead we opted to partner with our communities. And so we set about neighborhood by neighborhood, talking to people, asking them to come with us on this journey to learn their trees, help us to map and measure, collect data, and do this together. And over 6 years, we collected information on 220,000 street trees in all 95 neighborhoods. 1,300 people assisted us, and most of these had never volunteered with parks before. This was their first opportunity and interaction to work with urban forestry or the city. And together, they gave 17,000 hours. And that's the equivalent of one person out there walking the street every day for about 8.5 years. So we're incredibly proud of the community coming together to assist us with this project. Now, anytime you use volunteers, when you are collecting data, you have to design your project carefully. And we made sure to collect enough information, but to allow it to be accurate enough so that we could teach people to ID and collect information. And so we collected information on what type of trees, the species, their size or diameter at breast height. Here you see two folks out measuring the size of this nice street tree. We gave them a condition rating, good, fair, poor, or dead. We mapped their location, and we also collected information on the site. Now, we had an excellent accuracy rate, 95%. We were just cited in Urban Forestry and Urban Greening as one of the highest for volunteer inventories, and I really give a lot of credit to our professional arborist community. At the hundreds of work days that we held, we had two volunteer arborists, usually on bikes, riding about, making sure that our volunteers were collecting accurate information. And so without their assistance, I'm sure our accuracy rate would have dropped. But together as a team, we collected great information.
Let me interrupt for a second, because when I saw that image when they were previewing this, I said, oh, so then you have to, they're measuring the circumference, so then you have to go home and, you know, do the whole 2 pi r or whatever it is. And in fact, the wonders of modern science, they have double-sided tape measures, one of which is the actual inches and the other converts it to diameter by doing the circumference, which... What a nice thing.
Yep. Two measurements, one tape. You got it. And I will stress that the way that we designed this project, we had two goals. One was to go out and collect great information to get this data, but the second was to create an education project, to outreach, and to really work with people to get out in their communities. Both of those goals are mandated to us through our urban forest management plan. So we accomplished both. This is a map of where we worked. Each of those green dots is a tree. You will notice that we have more trees towards the center of the city. On the west side, you see a bit fewer, but that's because this particular protocol is not geared towards natural wooded areas. And so most of our street trees are located in that central area of the city. And as you move east, you see that they become fewer and farther apart. Some highlights from our key findings. Looking at that map, you'll see that our trees are not equitably distributed. I'm going to talk more about that in just a moment, but they're not located evenly throughout the city. However, we have abundant opportunities for planting. Over 90,000 sites are open and available, ready for trees right now. We're overly reliant on just a handful of tree types. Maples, Acer, 27% of our street trees are maples. Plums and cherries in the Prunus genus are also highly overrepresented. This leaves few very large native and evergreen trees. Those trees that are very important for providing services, those are few and far between. And many of our trees are young. We've had some very successful planting efforts, but they are not necessarily growing and reaching those larger size classes. So I'll highlight a handful of those. So let's talk about distribution. This is a map of the city that shows where trees are occupying available sites. So the darker green colors, over 70% of the sites in those neighborhoods have street trees. As you move further east, we see a lower stocking level. So in some neighborhoods, less than 35% of the available sites actually have trees in them. And this is a big concern, especially in East Portland, where many of our lower-income communities are, our communities of color. They don't have access to those same street trees. So keep this in mind. This is an issue that we're tackling. We also need to have more diversity in the palette of trees that are growing so that we are more resilient to pests and pathogens and a changing climate. So this is a map of the Hollywood neighborhood, and just as an illustration, we put trees that are vulnerable to four key pests and pathogens in red and those that are resistant in green. And we chose two pests and pathogens that are here, Dutch elm disease and bronze birch borer, and two that we think will be coming soon, emerald ash borer and Asian longhorn beetle. Imagine if Hollywood lost all of those vulnerable trees at the same time. That would be catastrophic for that neighborhood. And our best, the best way to deal with this is to plant a diverse palette. We have very few of our largest trees. So this wonderful big leaf maple, a native tree here on the left, much larger than 18 inches in diameter. But when you look at 18 inches as a cutoff, only 15% of our street tree population is of that size. And trees, when they're larger, that's when they are providing most of their benefits. 42% of our street trees are small. They're less than 6 inches in diameter. They're newly planted, they're young, or they're small form trees. And a little bit of maintenance for these young trees, making sure that they are mulched and watered and structurally pruned when they're young, will go a long way in keeping that investment going, ensuring that they're healthy, and getting them to those larger size classes. Okay, so those are a couple highlights of the info, but what are we doing with this information? So anytime you run a citizen science project, your participants are not going to let you wait until the project is over. They're not going to wait 6 years for us to wrap up all of the data and then make some changes. But we had enough great information early in the project to make significant changes in our management and policy. As an example, we've updated our approved tree list. We've added in those large form, evergreen, native trees to give more diversity. We've also added planting targets for our large permit holders. So, for example, Bureau of Environmental Services has been planting more large form evergreen and natives, and we've also set targets for planting in low income and low canopy neighborhoods. So we've seen great improvements there. And we're trying to tackle this issue of equitable distribution. So we've contracted with Portland State University to help us develop a citywide planting strategy so that we can really get into and understand how to better serve all Portlanders and to really bring trees where they're needed without adding undue burden, especially with that financial piece, because you plant a street tree, the adjacent property owner is the one maintaining it. So that's how we've used data and policy. All of our data is available online. There's a map. It's open data. It's being used by research institutions, by residents, by universities, other bureaus. It's all available. One of the best parts of the project has been that our volunteers have stayed with us. And so this map in green shows you where we have active tree teams. So all of these groups that conducted the inventory, they're still coming back to work in their communities. And they're planting, they're pruning, they're talking to their neighbors, they're doing great work out there. As an example, on the lower right, this is the Albina Neighborhood Tree Team near the Mississippi District. And this is their second year removing and replacing dead and dying cherry trees for low-income residents. So they received a grant, and they were able to replace 40 trees this year, all done by volunteers. Very proud of their work. And I mentioned the need to maintain young trees, and we are tackling this with our partners. Urban Forestry does workshops where we work with volunteers to prune young trees. We have a community tree care program in partnership with Friends of Trees and some funding from Bureau of Environmental Services. And together we're pruning about 2,000 young trees a year, although that's a drop in the bucket when you look at, say, the 90,000 trees that are in those smaller size classes. But we found a good place to start with the resources that we have. So in closing, I'd just like to say thank you to all of our volunteers and our communities who really did this work for us. People came out to help their community, to improve their urban forests, to meet their neighbors, to do something positive right where they live, and they've really, truly made a difference. Thank you.
Thank you.
Council, I just want to mention that Angie started this program just starting with one neighborhood and has been able to expand it across the city, and we're very proud of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Could you elaborate at all on the policy solutions for addressing the issue of affordability for low-income and fixed-income homeowners? You kind of touched on that. I just see that as that's obviously a driving factor behind why we don't have more trees as we move further out, and we have thousands of low-income homeowners who may not be able to afford to maintain, remove, repair their sidewalk, and then if they have to, they really don't want to replace that tree and do it all over again.
It's a big issue, yes. In terms of city code, that responsibility is assigned to the adjacent property owner, and we do have limited resources to deal with that directly. And I think the folks that are going to speak next are going to address that directly. With the limited resource that we have, we're trying to work around some of that, but without the funding or direct resource, there's not much that we can offer.
Very well said, Angie. I'll just add to that, Commissioner Udilli. We know for a fact that the adjacent property owner having to maintain the street tree is an obstacle to tree planting for understandable reasons. And I know Friends of Trees and BES in their street tree planting program have run into that. So at this point, we'll turn it over to the Urban Forestry Commission members who will speak to you about the future of street trees.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Mark Bellow. I'm chair of the Urban Forestry Commission. Meryl Reddish is our chair of our policy committee, and Jim Labby and Vivek Chandras will be joining us to make this very brief presentation. First of all, thank you very much, and thank you for putting resources into our urban forest. On a personal note, while these folks come up here, I'll let you know that I've been a city planner for the City of Portland since 1976. I was liaison to the Forestry Commission in the 80s, and where we were and where we've become is an amazing journey, and we should be proud of ourselves. I just want to say that. I am very proud of us. So, having said that, I've been very pleased as chair to participate and see the Forestry Commission create a policy committee that has taken on a topic that has bedeviled us for a century, literally. Unlike Pasadena, California, which addressed this issue in 1898, we are still struggling with this issue. And that issue is, what do we do about trees in the right-of-way? I want to point out that both the PowerPoint presentation and this two-pager talks about problems and solutions, but all of the items on the second page are not tasks for the City Council, but actually result from the incredible knowledge that our members have as they start working through this in collaboration with Friends of Trees, Verde, Johnson Creek Watershed Council, Audubon, and many other organizations. So we've given this a lot of thought, and we realize now's the time for us to have an inter-bureau conversation, and it's the City Council that can put that into motion. Finally, I want to say that we always invite anyone to attend our Forestry Commission meetings. They're Thursdays, Thursday morning. I know you're very busy. But come anytime, or any issue that anyone on the council would like the Forestry Commission to address specifically, we are more than open working with our commissioner, Commissioner Fritz. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi there, Mayor Wheeler, City Council. My name is Jim Labby. I'm going to present a proposal today. I don't want to repeat, but we're here today, of course, because street and public right-of-way trees are a valuable public asset, and Portlanders care a lot about them. I've lived and worked in all parts of the city, and I've experienced this over my career. Trees are uniquely situated. Street trees are particularly important because they're uniquely situated in the landscape along our transportation corridors to mitigate the environmental impacts, mostly from cars and driving, and also provide, they're really critical to helping create the vibrant, walkable, more compact neighborhoods that are really core to our city comp plan and the regional plans. And these benefits are only going to grow as our city grows more dense. This is recognized in a variety of plans, recent plans, the climate comp plan, the climate strategy plan, going back to the watershed management plan. These are all these plans and more recognize the need for trees and other green infrastructure throughout the city, but especially along Portland's densest corridors and in our dense centers. They also call for an equitable distribution of trees across the city, and as Vivek is going to mention, our urban heat island impacts our most vulnerable populations along these key transport corridors and in these tree deficient neighborhoods. And I always like to point out that we're farthest behind in meeting our tree canopy goals in the public right of way, in a public right of way and in our industrial lands. So what is the problem? There's really two problems. You've already heard about the street tree maintenance issue and the consequences of that. In addition to the equity issues that raises, it also there's a backlog of trees in poor condition, and this tree damage is a public safety issue. It also increases the damage during storm events like we recently had, and that's a burden both to residents but also to the bureaus. There's an extra cost, particularly to PBOT, in terms of dealing with storm impacts. But there are other issues. We can't use capital funds for street trees if we're not maintaining them in most cases. The other big problem is we are needlessly losing large, healthy trees and street tree planting sites in the process of making street improvements and in development situations. And there's a lot of case studies of this. I wish I could go into them here today. But basically, it comes down to the fact that there's a lot of competition for space in the public right-of-way, and trees are really at the end of the line in consideration. And that's not it's because there's bad people in the city that don't like trees. It's because we have outdated policies, procedures, and code requirements that really force the unnecessary removal of trees and the removal of tree planting spaces. So looking at this issue and updating our codes and policies is really critical. And this also is an equity issue. Where you see some of the innovative things happening with street trees, and there are out there, it's in neighborhoods where the neighbors are loud and vocal. And they compel the city to do these innovative things. In the parts of the city, like East Portland, where you don't have that capacity, that's where you really see trees taking a hit, and we're losing a lot of these large, healthy trees. So there's an equity issue on this side of the problem as well. So why now? Why address street trees now? Really three main reasons. First of all, we've just made this huge investment in inventorying this asset that we're not maintaining, the street trees. We have countless numbers of people involved out in their community thinking about this. Now is a good time for a big look at street trees and addressing some of these problems. over the last few years, we've also started making investments in street tree, planting street trees ever since the watershed plan. And we've made some progress, but if we don't maintain these young trees, they're not going to grow into large, healthy trees, especially in our under-treed neighborhoods. And we're going to have more of the costs that we mentioned earlier. There is one city and Friends of Tree pruning workshops, a volunteer street tree maintenance thing, but it's not going to cut the mustard when you talk about over 200,000 street trees across the city. The other thing, this is looking at street trees and public right of trees right now is really timely, given a number of ongoing and current planning efforts, including the citywide street tree strategy that PSU and Urban Forestry are working on, the Urban Forestry Plan update, future Title 11 code updates. We know there's more to do related to reforming Title 11 and updating it. But there's also a lot, as we update the zoning code and implement the comp plan, there's a lot of problems that are outside Title 11 that impact trees. A lot of barriers to preserving and planting street trees, as I mentioned. PBOT has a number of projects that they're working on right now which align nicely with this, the Living Streets Program, the update of the city's right-of-way management manual, and then you have these community efforts like the Jade District Greening Project on the community level that are focused on street trees. Lastly, the other third most important reason why now is an investment in street trees is really investment in local jobs and green development, and I know that's a high priority right now of the city. We have a real chance to build on existing programs. Verde has this really cool program with the city where they employ low-income people to plant and establish street trees in low-income neighborhoods. A street tree maintenance program, a targeted street tree maintenance program, could build on a program like that and expand it to deal with the maintenance issues. I'm going to skip ahead here and just say, so the ask, our proposal, the gist of it is really to convene a collaborative process that we ultimately think needs to be a task force, interbureau task force with community stakeholders to assess the problems of maintaining and stewarding street trees, investigating public finance to begin the city taking a role, more active role in that, and addressing and updating the codes and processes related to right-of-way improvements and development to better integrate street trees into our streetscapes. We know this is going to need key bureaus involved and stakeholders. It's going to need some facilitation and technical services to, for example, look at what other cities are doing, what are the financing options for street tree maintenance, what are the code changes that happen to do a street tree maintenance program. And we're not going to do this all at once. We're not going to adopt a street tree maintenance program next year even, but we can begin to start developing one in a targeted way. So I think as a first step, our ask today is really that the City Council convene a work session, maybe this summer after the bureaus are reassigned, after the budget process is farther along, that can look at this issue more clearly. We need you to direct your key staff, of your staff to be involved and in the bureaus. And our hope is that if we had a work session this summer, we could kind of delve into these issues and hopefully initiate a project in September. And with that, I'm going to pass the to Vivek, who's going to close out. Thank you.
Just, if I might interrupt for a second, I'm mindful, colleagues, that we asked for 30 minutes for this presentation, and we're now over. This proposal and request for a work session came out of the Urban Forestry Commission and our community partners, so I appreciate the fact that you're here, and if you could keep going on explaining what you are asking.
Okay, very briefly, I understand we're over. My name is Vivek Chandas. I'm a professor of urban studies and planning at Portland State University. Mayor Wheeler, city commissioners, just three quick points. One is that we are very lucky. Our lab has been conducting research on the trees of Portland, taking from machines that fly up in the air and taking pictures of the ground, as well as now this robust street tree inventory that we have. And we're bringing those two things together to really come up with a story that we are quite lucky that there were a number of people, city staff, leaders as well as community members that planted trees early on decades ago, and we're now reaping the benefits of it. We've seen, in fact, as Jim was bringing up, number of reductions in urban heat. We've seen upwards of 13 degrees of reduction in urban heat from one neighborhood to another, and in some cases, especially with low-income neighborhoods, that could be the that could be a matter of life and death, as we've seen in Chicago, Missouri, France, all over the planet. And with a changing with changing temperatures across the globe, we're going to see these impacts most acute in cities. Second, we're also just learning about a number of these feedbacks that we would have not necessarily foreseen even just one decade ago. For example, we have just found out the relationship between urban heat, tree canopy, and the amount of money individuals pay for their energy bills. We've been able to document that trees are one of the single most important factors in the built environment in terms of the amount of money people are contributing to their energy costs, particularly during summer when a lot of air conditioning is used, and as the planet warms, we're going to be seeing those impacts on communities' pocketbooks. And last, I just want to quickly reiterate that this Interbureau Task Force proposal, from my point of view, and again being outside of the city, has been illuminating for me, in part because I've gotten to understand how different bureaus work. And much like our disciplines in the university, which I have been vehemently trying to get us to work together across disciplines, I'm eager to see an interbureau communication process play out. I think it'll do three things. I think, first off, it'll improve collaboration across the bureaus. Second, I think it'll improve communication across the complexities of how we actually implement Title 11, which I've recently come to understand in a lot more detail. And I think it'll also just fundamentally make Portland a much more livable place, especially in these times of a climate crisis. Thank you for your time.
Attention. Thank you. Excellent presentation. Public testimony?
Yes, we have eight people signed up. The first three, please come on up, are Doug Klotz, Barbara Wharton, and Brian Simes.
So I hate to do this. I don't like shortening public testimony, but given that we are way off the schedule and we have three time certains today, could I ask everybody to try and wrap their testimony up in 2 minutes each? Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Doug Klotz. I'm a longtime advocate for pedestrians and the urban environment. I support the street tree asset management strategy. Trees in the right-of-way, as Jim Levy noted, are increasingly an important place to plant trees, especially with the increasing density and lot coverage that we'll be getting on centers and corridors, as well as downtown in the Pearl District. And we need that growth. We need the housing on the corridors where you can ride transit and not be polluting with your auto driving. So we need the trees there, and we need them in the right-of-way. We need better coordination among the many uses of the right-of-way. We have electrical vaults, water meters. There are a lot of buildings going in right now in the Pearl District and in downtown where you'll have 100 foot of frontage here, 100 foot there. You get one tree where the code would call for 10 trees there because, well, there's this fault and there's that fault. There's all these specs for how far things have to be apart. We need to look at all those specs, see if some of those can be changed. Can we have, you know, shorter street lights so you don't have to keep the trees so far away from them? So you can shine under the trees. And we especially need to work on getting trees at intersections. I mean, that's where the heat islands really are. And then there's all these obstacles to getting trees that actually shade an intersection. And that will mean working in concert with traffic engineers. Of course, I've been working in concert with or against traffic engineers for the last 25 years. But yes, the traffic engineers are critical in this fight. I also want to note that the city is right now planting trees in those underserved areas in East Portland, which are also underserved as far as having no sidewalks or other pedestrian facilities. And some of the trees are going in right where the sidewalk would be. And the city has acknowledged that, well, yes, the trees would have to come out if there were a sidewalk to go in. And that doesn't seem like the right way to do it. Like, we need to determine where the trees can go that will not interfere with a future sidewalk. But I think these trees are a very important aspect of the city that we need to make sure that we're getting as many and as large the ones as we can.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Wharton. I'm a resident of Concordia neighborhood. I've been a volunteer with Urban Forestry as a street tree steward for the past 8 years, and I'm also a member of the Concordia Tree Team, which was the first neighborhood that embarked on the inventory for street trees. I've seen in the past 8 years so many improvements as it relates to urban forestry here in Portland, but I continue to see so many opportunities that we haven't yet seized. I walk through my neighborhood, and just as a resident, there's a lot of development in Concordia, and I see houses coming down, houses going up, and at the very point where street trees are planted, I see the wrong tree being planted. So we're not seizing that opportunity for future. So I think that as far as homeowners for street tree planting, developers are actually the most important homeowner in the city, and we haven't connected with them successfully yet. The other thing I see is, with the data from the street tree inventory, is those underserved neighborhoods that need trees as well. And now we have this data, and it seems like the most perfect time to start addressing and letting that data direct future efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
I'm Brian Symes, and I'm a retired architect from the Housing Authority of Portland. And I am the first volunteer for the Friends of Trees.
Wow.
In 1989, I was at 7:30 in the morning in the basement of this building. I was a witness of Richard Seidman asking Bob Nato for $5,000 to start the Friends of Trees. And that is the earthquake that created the tsunami that we have seen here today. Good volunteers are the best thing in the city. And when they get involved with the Friends of Trees and making our city better, it's like buying a 5-penny acorn and ending up with a $10,000 worth tree. So I encourage this city council to, you know, go on with this inventory, create, involve citizens in their trees. And as an architect that still applies for hundreds of permits in the city, when I have a client that knows the tree code, that knows their trees on the property, it makes my job and all the BDS people down there at Southwest 1900, it makes their job so much easier. All the zoning people that I see, all the PBOT people, all the BES people that I see every time I apply for permit, it makes it a wonderful city that everybody knows what the worth of trees are, and you guys are responsible for that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that's a great story. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you. Next three, please.
Are Daniel Newberry, Elizabeth Hildebrand, and Scott Fogarty.
Good morning.
My name is Daniel Newberry, and thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. I'm a member of the Urban Forestry Commission and executive director of Johnson Creek Watershed Council, and we're very proud to have been part of the street and tree inventory for the past couple of years. I think everybody's kind of on board with knowing what the benefits of trees are, especially the health benefits. But, you know, the trees are really what make, in a lot of ways, what makes Portland, Portland. It makes it livable. And we've got a lot of development pressure coming up, and it seems to me as if whenever there's any new kind of development that involves the right-of-way, street trees are often the first casualty. And I think it's important to point out, although I think it's obvious to everybody, that when a large street tree comes down, it really takes decades for a new tree to come up and grow in its place and really reap those benefits. So I think it's really important that this proposal that we're putting forward today to have all the city departments coordinate, I think it's really important because we need to really prevent those big street trees from coming down if there's a way to do that. And I think that getting the departments together is the way to do it. You know, the city bureaus are really good at completing their missions. But so many times, you know, in any big bureaucracy, everybody gets kind of siloed. And in a lot of ways, street trees end up being the sort of casualty that fall between the cracks. Earlier today, Commissioner Udaly, you had asked about the whole equity issue with street trees. And I think just based on some research I've done, that there are some good examples in other large cities around the country. This, you know, we're not the first city to have to deal with issues of equity when it comes to paying for street tree maintenance. You know, there are some other cities, Washington, D.C. and San Francisco, come to mind as some really good examples of how this has been dealt with. I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Mayor and City Council. My name is Scott Fogarty. I'm Executive Director with Friends of Trees. And I just want to first say, acknowledge Portland Parks and Recreation and the Urban Forestry team for doing this inventory, and for Bureau of Environmental Services for investing in our urban forest. This is a great asset to the city. At Friends of Trees, we to address Commissioner Udaly, we take pride in the fact that we are trying to increase the urban canopy in the marginalized neighborhoods. We have our Greening the East Side program, where we specifically focus on outer East Side Portland for the majority of our tree planting events. And I can only say that we are thrilled that there is hopefully going to be inter-bureau a team that where we can come together with stakeholders and really address the issue of the maintenance of our trees over the long term. Daniel mentioned other cities outside of this state, but other cities within the state, notably Eugene, for example, are responsible. The city is responsible for trees from planting to maintenance events when we have big issues like this winter, when you have big trees coming down and causing property damage and even death to humans. So we very much encourage the City Council to form this task force, and I know it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a little time. We hope we're at the table for that discussion because we do have a connection to the community very directly, and we really appreciate the fact that bureaus will be working with each other and organizations like ours and Johnson Creek Watershed Council to come up with a solution to this problem, this ever-growing problem, no pun intended, of trees that need maintenance over time. So thank you very much for your time and for consideration of this task force.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name's Elizabeth Hildebrand. I'm a resident in Northeast Portland, and I am a member of the Concordia Tree Team, as well as being a graduate from the 2012 Tree Stewardship Program. And when I first heard of this task force, the first thing that came to my mind was a character from a Dr. Seuss story, and I'm not sure exactly who it was, but was who speaks for the trees?
It's the Lorax.
Was it the Lorax? Yeah. Okay. And I thought, okay, well, maybe this needs to start kicking in now. I grew up in Detroit, and I watched the urban canopy get destroyed by Dutch elm disease. It went from being a beautiful, leafy city to almost the decimation, which remains the same now today, because of lack of planning. So right now in Portland, there's so much growth that's happening, and buildings are going up, trees are going down, that it is the perfect time for people to focus on the trees in the city, and fortunately, hopefully, can find the energy and focus that's needed to keep moving forward with this, the great tree canopy that we have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And the last two who signed up are Mary Vogel and Michael Duro.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning. Michael, do you want to start?
Go ahead, Mary.
Hi. Go ahead.
No, you first.
Okay. I'm Mary Vogel, and
Oregon Walks has already submitted our written testimony, so I won't repeat what's in that. But in any case, I did want to say about myself, I also participated in the inventory for downtown, and I've been testifying to the Planning and Sustainability Committee, for at least the last 4 years on the Central City 2035 plan and the West Quadrant plan about the need for better street trees downtown. I want to remind you that Jeff Speck's Walkable City subtitle is How Downtown Can Help Save America One Step at a Time. We do need to start with our downtown and expand out as well. Downtown and Old Town in the PSU study were also in the low street tree, low income neighborhoods survey. So I guess I want to request that they not be left out of the target, though I strongly support also targeting the East Side neighborhoods who are in a similar position. I think that's pretty much what I need to say. In addition to, I urge you to read our testimony. Also, that we, or as Oregon Walks, are very interested in participating on an advisory committee on this this topic of the right of the street tree right of way.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Ted? Hey, my name is Michael Drew. I'd say I'm a little relaxed. I'm here to speak for the trees, but I just think that's already been done. Anyway, I'm here to speak for the trees and the data. We need to pay attention to in our planning, and it would be really important to include the trees, the bees, and the invertebrates in our planning data, because there are places in China right now, entire provinces, where there are no trees and there are no bees. And we don't want to be that place. Or we don't want to. So I don't need to really go into the details of that, but that speaks to where we're going. We need as much information as we can gather on the trees, both the trees on people's properties, the trees on private property, public property, and on rights of ways. I suggest you guys look into Google and look into big data and Hadoop. Hadoop and HBase is a good solution for this, and it's not an expensive solution. And you can actually get individual people, citizens, to populate the data along with the data you already have. I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you're busy, but thank you for your time. Have a nice day. Do you have any questions?
Thank you. That's a great suggestion. As you know, the data is important, and I like your idea. It dovetails with a conversation we had about open data last week, and so it's actually a good dovetail to that conversation as well.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you both for your testimony. Commissioners, any further discussion before we entertain a motion?
Yeah, I have a question of the sponsor.
Yes.
Commissioner Fritz, this is on, right?
I turned it on.
Oh, thank you. It's a little confidence she has in me, for good reason. So Amiral Reddish gave us a briefing on this issue at the time that I was also the commissioner in charge. Mayor, you are now the commissioner in charge.
I'm sorry, Michael and Mayor, you guys can go back to your seats. You don't have to sit there. Yeah, I apologize. Thank you.
So technically now the mayor is the commissioner in charge of all the bureaus. And just speaking for the Bureau of Environmental Services, we were very impressed with the presentation, and we were eager to join some kind of interbureau task force. And we also thought the suggestion that there be a work session to scope it out and to have everyone at the table was a good idea. And so, Commissioner Fritz, as part of accepting this report, I know they're unrelated, but I would like to see if we can get a consensus to have that work session. And have you make some kind of a motion in connection with accepting the report?
Yes, thank you. I mean, each one of us has a bureau, at least one,
or
did until a couple of weeks ago, have bureaus that are involved in this issue. And as my colleagues will remember, the Urban Forestry Department and the Bureau of Development Services have identified about 45 different high-profile challenges in Title 11. And collectively as a council, we didn't have the resources of time and money to do that whole fix. So I would hope that each one of us, and Mayor, as you are now in charge of all the bureaus, you can direct the bureau directors to do this. And I would very much appreciate it if you would.
Very good. I'll entertain a motion.
Move to accept the report.
Commissioner Udaly, did you have something to say first? No? Okay, very good. Sorry.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
So we have a motion from Commissioner Fritz, a second from Commissioner Fish. Any further discussion? Please call the roll.
Fish.
So that was an outstanding presentation. Thank you to the Urban Forestry Commission, the Urban Forester, all the folks who took time to testify. I'm a former Portland Parks and Rec Commissioner in charge, and now have the honor of being in charge of BES. And that means I've had some role in what we call the big three here, because if you add PBOT, those are the three infrastructure bureaus that probably have the most immediate impact over trees. I know Meryl Reddish couldn't be here today, and she's in a warm place, hopefully, with her family. But I do appreciate the briefing we got, and I think the vision is very compelling. And so, Mayor, I would urge that we schedule a work session in September and direct the relevant bureaus to participate. If I continue to have the honor of serving as the commissioner in charge of BES, we will fully participate. And I just wanted to share a couple of numbers to add to the outstanding presentation we had. So I asked my team for some context about trees and our work, since we are the city's environmental services utility. Over the past 9 years, working with great partners like Friends of Trees and others, we've planted more than 45,000 trees, 30,000 of which were in the city's right-of-way. And each year we plant about 2,700 new trees. Now, I noticed in one of your slides you take a crack at quantifying the replacement value. We're treating it like infrastructure. So what's the value of our canopy? Well, here's a couple of numbers that we use. These are back of the envelope. If I was in court, I couldn't prove them, but I think they provide some context. Portland's street trees manage about 150 million gallons of stormwater every year. Now, think about that. If they didn't, we'd be talking about Big Pipe 2 or much more gray. So thank you, street trees, for managing about 150 million gallons of stormwater every year. And what's the savings just to our ratepayers, not our taxpayers over here in property taxpayers, but just our ratepayers? We estimate in excess of $4 million a year in avoided stormwater management costs. So next time you see a tree in the right-of-way, say thank you, because you're saving us money. We agree that more trees and healthier, better-maintained trees in the right-of-way will help us meet the city's sustainable stormwater management and watershed health goals. And we also agree that unless we have a collaborative process to look at the equity issues, we're just not going to move the needle as we should in East Portland. So we look forward to fully participating in a future process. And Commissioner Fritz, who's been really the champion moving this thing forward, thank you for your leadership, and I'm proud to support the report. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I want to thank Urban Forestry for putting together this and the many volunteers who helped do the street inventory report. I guess the one takeaway, I'm always searching for interesting trivia. Correct me afterwards if I'm wrong, but the takeaway is we have 220,000 street trees right now, and we have room for 93,000 more. So that's great. And I appreciate the work that's gone on, and I'm fully supportive of forming a task force to see if we can figure something out better to maintain our street trees. Aye.
Udaly.
Thank you for the presentation, and thank you to all the volunteers for their service to our community. I am looking forward to further conversations on the issues you've raised today and support the idea of a work session. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, everybody, for being here, especially our volunteers and our staff, and for the succinct report that especially our Urban Forestry Commission and others gave us. We're actually only about 15 minutes over the time, and it's interesting that this suggestion from the community is the one that I believe I have universal support for. So, Mayor, I would like you to direct all the bureaus to cooperate with this. I'd like to see a work session in June or the beginning of July, just to scope it out so that we can then be prepared in September. We all received multiple emails after we had what we thought was a relatively simple clarification that adjacent property owners are indeed responsible for their trees. We all experienced a lot of concern about that from our community during the recap process, the code updates. So we pulled that piece back. It's definitely something that's really important. And no matter who looks after these street trees, someone has to pay for the maintenance, for the removal if they fail. So it's really urgent that we figure out what's the most equitable way to manage our wonderful street tree inventories. So I do thank the Urban Forestry Commission and the Policy Committee, Angie DeSalvo, who, as I said, started this whole thing off in Concordia, and now it's citywide in all 95 neighbourhoods, Brian Lando and Jen Cairo, the 1,300 volunteers who helped with this amazing inventory. We're so proud of it. And I've noticed Roberta Jortner, who's, like Mark Bello, a retiree from the City of Portland, still volunteering her time and guiding this process, and she was very instrumental in getting the Title 11 passed. And so I'm just proud to work with people who, whether they're getting paid or not, are very willing to come together to make our city better. And I've often said that Friends of Trees is about more than just planting trees, and I really enjoyed the lunch yesterday to celebrate and wish that Scott had more time to tell us about the numbers of thousands and thousands and thousands of trees that have been planted. And it's not only going back to the trees that you helped plant with a team of people that at the beginning you didn't know who they were, and at the end of the morning you're fast friends. It's about that developing of friendship and that developing of community, that we're all in this together and we're going to help each other out. Because the size of trees that Friends of Trees plants, you could not do it with a single person unless you had some kind of mechanical device. So it's really a wonderful program. Also thanking Pooja Bhatt and my staff, our partners in the Bureau of Development Services, who have been doing their level best to try to figure out in development situations how do we look after the trees. And so we do. We speak for the trees, which everyone needs. Aye.
Wheeler.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz, for your passion, your enthusiasm, and your leadership on this. I think this was a great presentation, and I want to thank the staff and the community volunteers who came in today. It was very positive. There were a number of things that I heard colleagues during the presentation. First of all, I'm hearing loudly and clearly that we would like to have a work session focused on this, so I will work with staff and work with the council clerk, and we'll secure a date that makes sense sometime between now and September, and we'll try to find the mutually agreed upon date that allows us to do that. I was concerned about the low income disparity that we're seeing, particularly in East Portland, and I'd like that to be a part of that conversation as we have it. I feel that we can do better to address it. Somebody made the great point that we can do more to connect directly with homeowners. And I've got a couple of ideas that I'd also like to perhaps vet at that work session on how we might go about that. I heard loudly and clearly, and it seems there's a consensus here amongst council to have an inter-bureau task force to work with some of our community partners to figure out how to best address these issues. With the agreement of my colleagues, why don't we wrap that into the conversation that we have as a work session, and maybe people in the community as well as all of us and our staffs could think about how best to orchestrate that for maximum benefit. And last but not least, I am really, I want to come back to the data collection and gathering issue that Michael raised during his public testimony. I think that's critical, and we really have an opportunity here to leverage the goodwill and the interest on the part of community in this effort to help us gather the data that's so hard for us to collect independently of a broad program. So all good ideas that came out of today's session, and I want to thank people for being here. I vote aye. The report is accepted. Thank you.